If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I'm also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The gang is back. Welcome to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, is Fred Moreland, who decided to partake in some smart people things over the last couple of weeks.
I don't know about how smart, but yeah, I guess I did. I sure did do things. I have returned like that rash that you thought went away, but it's back. And now you need to see a dermatologist. Thanks for holding it down while I was gone, Tyler. I was off playing a Scrabble tournament. And yes, I did that for a week because it was a long tournament. It was the national championship. And I finished 10th in my division, so I got $200.
I can't believe you just described your return to the show as a rash. Just absolutely incredible podcasting.
More describing myself as one than the show or any aspect of that. But, you know, tomato, tomato.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. And there is quite a bit to talk about over the course of the last few weeks that we'll have to get your thoughts on. Let's start here. More backstage drama, Fred. Wrestling Observer Newsletter had it first, and then Fightful said the suspension was legitimate. Britt Baker suspended for either 1 or 2 weeks and fined. On the 7/17 Dynamite, when MJF and Will Ospreay went 59 minutes and 58 seconds, Baker complained about that match going the hour, did so in front of Alicia Tout, who is MJF's girlfriend. Well, mm-hmm. Tout told MJF, MJF confronted her, Baker took offense to Tout telling MJF what was said. I believe the verbiage that was relayed to us from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter was that the locker room was sacred. Something along those lines.
I think that was supposed to be Baker's stance, right? That a Tout mm-hmm. should not have been telling anyone anything that was said within the sacred ladies' locker room.
Yeah, that's a position.
It is a position one can take, yes. In life, Tyler, you can say many things, and sometimes you can even feel them genuinely.
Yes, all of these things are correct. And the best part about being correct is they're technically correct, which is the best type of correct.
Yeah, that's right.
But so Will Ospreay also spoke with Britt Baker, and Britt and MJF were once close, but no longer are. Damn. More backstage bullshit. Britt Baker being suspended, probably a good thing. It sounds like that this isn't the first time an incident with her has happened.
The general impression I have, though I can't really like put anything in the notes, you know, as far as like a source, is that this isn't a one-off. Mm-hmm. If this was a one-off, I think really suspending anyone for this would have been silly, you know, unnecessary. So I'm kind of presuming here, but I am kind, you know, it reads to me the whole general words are hard. General situation and circumstance is that this is not a first time thing. And I kind of wonder if it was just, if the suspension was more of a cumulative, please cut your shit kind of thing. Now, I don't know anything. I don't talk to anyone. I have no sources. But that's just kind of my takeaway reading between the lines, as you often have to do with wrestling media.
Oh, good old wrestling media. Good old wrestling media, Fred. And what's disheartening about
war. This... War never changes.
What's disheartening about this is coming out weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that this should have come out right away. And it feels like that, I don't know, maybe I'm just speculating, but man, it feels like that these individuals would have had it right away. And for it to come out a couple weeks later is...
Oh, you mean the reporters?
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know what? That's just my read on it. I don't have any sources on this, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
It's just the vibe I'm getting. But regardless, Tony Khan suspending somebody, good for business. Objectively good, because you know what? There have been a few things that people could have been suspended for that weren't. And to see it happen here, I think is a good thing. Now, will this lead to anything? Will this kind of solve issues. Eh, who knows? But yeah, suspension for Britt Baker for complaining in a locker room.
I imagine more for stirring shit, because I have to imagine that the, you know, I don't think it was an accident that she complained in front of Alicia Tout. You know, we both know for, you know, just from following wrestling and reading stuff like The Observer, that locker rooms often have games played in them. And I do wonder how much of this was, you know, maybe it was a game being played by Britt to stir some stuff up. I don't know.
Fred, let's play a game. You brought up something very interesting. Games are played in college rooms.
College football 25, because I've got an addiction. I got a problem, buddy.
So do I. Texas State is in year four of the Dino. We won the Natty in year one. We made the quarterfinals in year two, or year Skill three. And year four, I had a 17-point lead against Arkansas and blew it and lost the game in the fourth quarter.
You fool.
Yeah. But we're on pace to make the playoff again. But no, I would like to know, Fred, based off of vibes and vibes alone.
Okay.
Who could beat you in a game of Scrabble in the AEW locker room?
Okay. Are we assuming that they're given some chance to learn? Because frankly,
no, it just,
you know, right now,
I think everybody understands how to play Scrabble. Everybody's played Words with Friends, which, let's be honest, is Scrabble.
It's, yeah. Legally distinct Scrabble. Assuming we're using, like, you know, the air quotes here, the tournament dictionary, and that we're just going in cold, I think I could beat. Hell, I'll say
no.
I think
who could I did I say who you could beat or did I say who could beat you? I think I said who could beat me. You.
I'll say this shit. Like a best out of five situation, tournament dictionary. They're going in cold and don't know the dictionary or like how to deal with a clock or anything. I think I'd beat everyone. That's my shit talk right there.
All right. Fred has laid down the challenge to every AEW wrestler, and when RJ City comes back on the show, we're going to say that Fred said he could beat your ass in Scrabble.
I 100% could whip RJ City's ass in Scrabble. I'll say that right now.
I don't know. I'd just like to see RJ City play Scrabble because I think he would be just a hoot. Let's move on because there's another huge story that came out of AEW this week. I believe it was the day before Dynamite on Tuesday. A picture leaked of Tony Khan meeting with Shane McMahon. The statement from Shane McMahon said that they were connected via a mutual friend and discussed it, working with the business and working with family, and kind of left the door open for Shane to go to AEW, but it certainly felt like that wasn't going to be the case.
Yeah, big, I don't get that impression.
Big picture here, I think it was good for Tony Khan to meet with Shane McMahon, because I think there are elements of the wrestling business that Tony Khan could learn from having a conversation with somebody like Shane McMahon. And a lot of that being like Shane said in the statement, how to work with family, how to handle things backstage, not necessarily storylines on television, but it would also be kind of cool in a one-off to having McMahon on AEW television. The problem is you'd probably have to have him on for more than one night. And well, probably would suck.
Yeah.
So
just calling a spade a spade here. Shane's been shot as a performer, at least as a wrestler, for like a decade plus. His biggest skill was always just falling off shit. And now he's like, what, in his 50s? You know, and either, I mean, if you need someone to fall off something, you already got Darby Allin, right? Who can actually wrestle and is a star and all this stuff.
Shane versus Darby in a fall off things match.
So I just don't see what, you know, what would be brought to the table by, you know, by Shane as a performer. Him in a one off, you know, there's worse things that could happen. I mean, I just watched Blood and Guts, and I saw a Billy Gunn and Jeff Jarrett, you know, not decide the main event or anything, but play a not insignificant role in it. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it would the vibes ain't great, I'll say, but, you know, it's it is what it is. I just wouldn't bring him in. I don't know that he could add a whole lot as an on-screen character. And we don't need an authority figure. We already have Christopher Daniels as a pseudo authority figure that never shows up, which is frankly kind of good. I just don't see where he would fit in. And, you know, the story with him has always been creatively that he has been not good. So, you know, add in like the drama that was reported at that Royal Rumble like a year or two ago where he tried to book himself into like outshooting Matt Riddle and going toe to toe with Brock Lesnar or whatever. You know, that's a little. And then he got fired by his own dad because of that stuff. So, you know, I may not want to put him in the locker room personally, but, you know. There's also nostalgia, and boy, AEW sure does seem to like nostalgia the past year or so.
Nostalgia gets you a pop. It does not sustain, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, it don't get you a dollar.
Yeah, like doing a nostalgia thing every so often. Yeah, absolutely. It's good to pop the crowd. It's good to get excitement. It's good to have people on their toes that something might happen, but you can't make a whole promotion out of it, just like at WWE. WWE is hot. But it also sucks. And SummerSlam, as we record this Sunday morning, was last night. And
I did not watch it because I was watching the Olympics. But I did not see good things from people that I trust. So,
yeah, I watched the Drew match and the main event. That was it.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think Drew has a candidacy for the FSM 50 at the end of the year. I think he's a guy that could make that list. How was that match?
Do you really want to know?
I want to know, yeah.
I was
already down on CM Punk as a worker like at the tail end of his AEW run, and I can't imagine that the like multiple injuries have helped him out. So,
Fred, they had a great feud coming into this. It was built as a blood feud. Punk wanted to run the Razor.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit talk. Fred, Drew McIntyre posted a lot of tweets that were pretty good.
Fred, they got a bell pop, and they started beating each other up. And then
good in it. Hard to do in WWE.
Yeah, and it's starting off great. Like, okay, this is fucking pro wrestling. Let's go.
Then
the story was built around a friendship bracelet of CM Punk's.
Okay. Okay.
Absolute dud. Yeah. Punk had McIntyre up for the go to sleep and saw that Rollins was wearing the bracelet and basically dropped McIntyre to take the bracelet back. Somebody theorized on the post show that the Voice Wrestling Patreon did, I recommend you go subscribe, that they're trying to get Punk to snap by doing all this shit. Because hell,
what do you mean by like make legit, like make him have one of his little meltdowns?
Yeah.
Okay.
It, dude, a friendship bracelet.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't know that many asses are being put in seats over that, but okay.
No, they took what could have been like a 4.5-star blood feud brawl and made it a dud. WWE can't help themselves. They can't.
Yeah, they really can't. I mean, the roster ain't what it was because mainly the roster is what it was like 7 years ago, but now older for the most part. But they can have some good matches, you know. It's just that they don't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is just from me watching like basically only WWE highlights, AEW matches, and Dragon Gate and New Japan, but I haven't even watched any of the G1 yet, but I got Drew McIntyre 32nd on the year. I think he was having a hell of a year, and it's a shame that they WWE did what they do. We'll leave it at that. And people love it, I guess.
WWE. Yeah. Let's continue on. We'll see what happens with AEW and Shane McMahon. I'm guessing nothing, but you never know.
Yeah.
The exclusive negotiating window is closed with AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery with no deal. Now, I believe it was this weekend that David Zaslav of Warner Brothers Discovery and Tony Khan are meeting in Paris at the Olympics. So that's noteworthy. Ring of Honor is also being considered to rebrand to as AEW Ring of Honor in an attempt to become a part of this deal, which, let's be real, it probably will be. And it's all about trying to figure out how to maximize both television ratings and get exposure for Ring of Honor. Look, I don't think it's a big deal that the negotiating window is closed. I do think it puts a little bit more urgency for Warner Brothers Discovery to have these conversations and get a deal done. Because now, hey, what happens if another network decides, hey, we want AEW? What if Fox goes after them? I mean, I'm not saying they would, but
it'd be a lower cost replacement, you know, for SmackDown. You know, it's not impossible, but
they could pay
highly unlikely. I think they're not going to do it, but
they could pay $200 million and get the whole portfolio of AEW, not just one entity. But I still think Warner Brothers Discovery ends up with the contract and they're going to figure it out. Yeah. That's how I feel this has trended the entire time. But we'll see.
Yeah, basically. It seems like I can't really get too hyped up about like the status of it because it feels very much like we're just kind of treading water. And, you know, like at this point, we'll either know something or we won't. You know, that's about as excited as I can get on it, I guess.
We'll see about how this ends up playing out. It's honestly a big nothing right now.
I just want something to happen before I get too excited.
I want something to happen, and I want them to get a massive deal so all the WWE stands can cry. That's just this is an interesting note from Dave Meltzer. AEW pays about 55% of its revenue in talent salaries, around the same level as the U.S. Big Four, meaning the NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL. Even if it drops to 45% after the new deal, Meltzer notes that it would be higher than wrestling historically. But we're also in a different era where you're getting millions upon millions of dollars for television. And some of the historical eras of wrestling, you would have to pay to get on television.
Yeah.
So honestly, this is just evolution.
Yep. This is just, you know, the current status of the industry. Really, the only thing worth comparing it to is basically the past 20-ish years of wrestling history. I mean, they're certainly outperforming TNA, I think, by any standard, really, even at their hottest. I think you could argue they're outperforming WWE at certain chunks of time, because they had some lows. They sure did. It's good, you know, that they're able to pay that much talent. It'll be interesting to see how that changes with the new deal once it finally happens. But we're just kind of, you know, we're in Schrodinger's box right now. I mean, either they have a deal or they don't, and we're just kind of waiting to figure it out if they do. If they don't, it'll be very interesting, especially if they don't get one anywhere else. But I think that's a rather unlikely set of circumstances.
I agree. This whole thing of evolving business trends is very interesting. And when you have some of these conversations and you have to understand how things have evolved, and I think AEW is in a good spot. I wouldn't be worried that they're number is higher than historically because, well, everything's kind of trending in just different directions than what historically has happened. So let's talk about something that is now historical, and that is Mercedes Moné's marriage. She's divorcing her husband, Seraph Tom, who's a WWE costume designer and former wrestler known as Mikaze. Apparently, she filed for divorce in 2020, and this is kind of just being finalized now. I
didn't see the date on it, so
well,
that's a delay.
It's become public now, so yeah. All the best to both parties.
Yeah.
Couple injury notes, Fred. Sky Blue had surgery for a broken ankle on July 30th. That recovery will probably be in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 months-ish. Trent Beretta also had neck surgery again. Now, this is an interesting one because
it is.
He two of the screws from his prior neck fusion surgery broke and needed to be replaced. Now, I have no idea what the recovery time is going to be for that.
I can only guess that it would be at least a few months. Mm-hmm. I would be kind of surprised if we got him back by year end in the ring. Well, I guess it's not out of the realm, I guess, but it's not going to be like I don't think it'd be a full year, but that's just a guess.
It's interesting because the fusion had already healed and the screws themselves broke. So they're replacing the screws and they're not asking for the fusion to fully heal. So
yeah,
it could
so
be,
maybe it'll be faster.
It could be a few weeks, could be a few months, could be a year. Who the hell knows? But yeah. I'm very intrigued to hear and what, like how long Beretta is expected to be out, because I find that one interesting. And Dalton Castle has a torn bicep. He suffered in the match with Rocky Romero. And that was also the match where Dalton was knocked unconscious. He'll miss the rest
bad
of the
night
year
of the office.
Yeah. Just unfortunate for Dalton Castle, who, let's just be real. As I yawn into the mic. Yeah, that's what happens with my dogs. His injuries have really derailed a promising career.
Yeah. He's so entertaining, and he's really a guy that should have been a megastar. And it felt like right as he was like really at his apex, he suffered just a zillion injuries, and now you know, just isn't able to go in the ring like he once was, and it's really a damn shame. But he's super entertaining, just delightful anytime he's on screen. And I don't know, I hope that I've always felt like AEW could have found more for him, you know, at least in a mid-card kind of role as a regular on TV, but he's been relegated lower than that, I guess would be the way to put it. So
yeah. Okay. Last piece of tidbit before we start yelling about this company.
Okay.
Melissa Santos in as a backstage interviewer. And if you don't know Melissa Santos, she is the wife of Brian Cage. I have no idea if Santos is any good at being a backstage interviewer or if it's even noteworthy other than the fact that she's married to Brian Cage.
She was the ring announcer for Lucha Underground, and I think generally people thought she did a great job there.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. So I don't know. I feel like they've already got Kimmel and they've got Roberts. So I don't know where she'd fit in. Obviously, you can use more than one ring announcer for a show. That's the thing you could do. But you know, I mean, we'll see how she does as a backstage interviewer. I think the only one that has ever really felt like a above average one in the past 10 years in North America is pretty much Renee. Everyone else just seems to be like average at best. So I don't know. We'll see how she does. Do face though.
Yeah. All right, Fred. Everybody got to hear me yell about Blood and Guts and how much I hated it last week. Just watched Blood and Guts and
I have not listened to your review because I didn't want to be spoiled on the match.
Yeah, let's also talk about this. You watched the match, but you did
just the match. That's the only thing I've watched off that entire show.
You did not see the coin flip.
I did not.
I want your raw reaction to the coin flip. So
well, it'd really be a Dynamite reaction.
But we get a camera into the Elite's locker room.
Okay.
And all of a sudden you see Christopher Daniels lying on the ground. And Bryce Remsburg's like, what the hell? And the Jacks are like, oh, it's okay. And gives Bryce the coin, flips it, and the Elite get the advantage. But they're also questioning, like, hey, where's Hangman? But Christopher Daniels is on the ground. They beat him up.
Eddie's dead, and they just ignored him.
And right after that, the Elite revealed to the camera that it was a gimmicked coin. And making Bryce Remsburg look like just an absolute buffoon. And still flipping the coin with one, an executive laying on the ground after being beaten up by the Elite. And two, nobody from Team AEW is around.
Cool. That's dumb. That is pretty dumb. Oh, Lord. Why would you do that? Cool.
Yeah, that.
Well, as long as there's so many sarcastic things I can say, but that just sounds. I didn't watch it, but it sounds very silly.
It was one of the many logic gaps in the show. But take us through what you thought of Blood and Guts.
I thought it was a fun match. I think I ended up going like 4.5 on it. I didn't really have it. I thought the match was exciting. I thought it was well worked. I know that at this point in time, and I'm one of those people, instinctively, whenever someone gets on a mic during the middle of a match, I just kind of hate it because WWE ran that shit into the ground. But it was a brief moment where they yelled at Hangman and teased, you know, their future dissension. Could they have done it without the mic? Yes, absolutely. But they did. And here we are, I guess. I didn't see anything really in the match that made me hate the match or any booking in it. You know, you could say that they went too overly dramatic on the end, but you know, I mean, having, you know, threatening someone with extreme violence is a way to get a finish in a match that's kind of a war game staple.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really see anything that to me came across as bad booking or dumb booking or anything. Was there anything in the match that, you know, you hated?
Yeah. the Elite melodrama.
It was a little too much. I'm not going to argue with that. I don't think it really hurt it too much, but
I hated the fact that you have to have all 10 combatants in the cage to start the match, and the Elite just start the match the second Hangman's in the ring, even though Swerve Strickland is handcuffed to the outside of the cage. I thought that was a bunch of shit. I did think that Jack Perry's selling while he was handcuffed to the cage and is being threatened to be burned alive was some of the best I've seen in wrestling this year.
Yeah, he came across like a star, I thought.
He came across like a badass, but was also scared shitless without trying to show it. But you could see just a little bit, his upper body trembling just a little bit, like, oh shit, I'm actually going to get burned alive. But he didn't change his facial expression. He stayed defiant. I just thought it was incredible. Jack Perry is a star now. He has figured it out. He has taken the next step. And Tony Khan was right, believing in him like this.
Yeah. No, he's delivered, at least as far as presentation. I will say that his in-ring, since he's returned, outside of like multi-man matches, it's been kind of disappointing. But he's only been in, basically, he's been in 5 AEW matches since his return. 4 of them have been multi-man of some sort, whether it be Blood and Guts, Anarchy in the Arena, the multi-man ladder match for the TNT title, or that 6-man preview tag on the Dynamite before the Forbidden Door show. The only other singles matches have been the Dustin Rhodes and I think the Marco Stunt Squash. And honestly, I thought the Marco Stunt Squash was much better. The Dustin Rhodes one was kind of uneven, and I think they just didn't mesh well. That Marco Stunt Squash, that might be Squash of the Year. Because I thought Marco did a great job just bumping his ass off, and I thought Jack Perry, in a rare position for him, did a great job as the monster heel, just killing that guy. And I thought that was really good. I thought that was really good stuff. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's as good as like the Moxley Uno squash from a year ago, I think it was. But it was good. It was one of the better squashes you'll see.
I thought it was extra great. And something that I've really liked with this company, it's got a backstory. And the backstory,
yeah, it was a cool callback.
The backstory and callback was awesome. But if you knew nothing about it, it was still a really good squash.
Yeah, exactly.
And being able to hit
back, and the announcers told you the story and all this stuff. You didn't need a video package.
I was just gonna say, where was my video package, Fred? I don't know any of this. I need a video package.
I'm sorry, you lack object permanence. And anytime someone comes on screen, you're like, hey, who's that guy? I need the full explanation every time.
Yes, yes. Because I am a new viewer. I am a casual fan.
A very real thing.
Yeah, Jack Perry, TNT champion. He's going to be facing Darby Allin at All In. That match should rule.
That should be fun, yeah.
Speaking of matches that rule, how about Darby Allin versus Hangman Page?
That was a damn good match. I would think I went 4.25 on it. Not quite a match of the year. You know, I don't even think you could say 4.5 is a match of the year contender anymore, unless you're a strict grader, which I'm not, notoriously. Much to the chagrin of other people. But, yeah. I liked it a lot. I did think that it wasn't as great as it could have been. I think they have better matches in them, but I thought it was a good one. I mean, as you would expect, Darby bounced his ass off around the ring, taking suplexes and stuff, just taking crazy bumps. And Adam Page, you know, looked like a killer. What do you think about this Adam Page losing matches storyline?
Good. Torture him.
Okay. How do you think it's going to play out long term with Swerve?
He's going to get Swerve in the ring. He's going to beat his ass and he's going to win that title.
Do you think it's going to be for the title? Because honestly, my guess would be not for the title at this point. I don't know.
My thinking is Danielson wins the title at All In, gets the moment, gets in the lineage. Then he faces Darby at Grand Slam, beats Darby, and then Swerve gets a rematch. Wins it back at Wrestle Dream, and then Full Gear is probably Swerve versus Hangman. Or maybe you extend it out to Revolution or World's End. My thinking is Hangman is going to get his hands on Swerve. It's going to be the biggest match in company history. Could you push it out to All In next year? No.
That seems long. That seems like a long time.
I think it's a long time. And you know what? Hangman could hold the title for 2-3 months, lose it to Will Ospreay. And he's like, I thought his first title run was good. I hated that he had 2 Adam Cole matches, but that's just a personal thing. Mm-hmm. The money really with Hangman's in the chase. I don't even think it's a bad thing, him holding the title for like business. But the money's in the chase. He's so good as a tortured babyface. And
I don't know that he really is a babyface right now, though. It's the interesting thing.
That's the thing. He thinks he's a babyface because he thinks he's right. And
yes, he's the justified heel right now, right?
I like that story. And I loved that promo that he cut that said, like, just burying Swerve for, like, you were this mega asshole and you broke into my house and they cheered you for it. Like,
heels, that was a great promo.
Heels are at their best when they're right. Yeah, cartoonish ones are awesome, but he's right. And that's what makes this thing so intriguing. I don't know how Tony's going to book this long term, but for all of his flaws, for all of his mistakes, he has never been wrong about how he's booked Hangman Page. He's never been wrong about, hey, we can push it back to another pay-per-view. Full Gear was great. He's never been wrong about the slow burn with him. I have to give him the benefit of the doubt on whatever he chooses to do in elevating Hangman back to the title picture.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Yeah, he continues to kind of be the protagonist of AEW. I think his performances have been great every week that he's on TV. And I thought he did another good one here. I thought the way they took care of the way they handled the swerve stuff, you know, may have been a little extra at some points, but I thought in general it worked well. So
yeah,
I did like that. But yeah. Another good match on that show this past week's Dynamite was Ospreay and Archer. I thought they had a very good match, and shockingly, I like a Will Ospreay singles match that's given time in 2024. but I love Lance Archer. He's a guy that I feel like the entire time that he's been in AEW, he's been underused, frankly, outside of maybe like 3 months. And he, you know, it's unfortunate because he's 100% been slotted into that don't want him to lose too much situation, but don't want to push him either. So
yeah. Archer, I feel like if you put him in like Paul Heyman era Big Show, that should be his role, where he's the giant. He wins pretty much everything, and then he puts over somebody.
Yeah.
And being that Lance Archer isn't like a traditional giant like the Big Show, I think he could do that because Archer can just flat out wrestle. He can go. He's not a gimmick, but he's also believable in that he's 6'9", nearly 300 pounds, and he's an ass kicker.
Yeah.
So I like that element. I think that they could use him a lot more. I don't know why they're not. There's a disconnect between him and booking, for sure. I did think he got... he was in the finals of the TNT title tournament with Cody. Put over Cody. I think he got one AEW title shot in the early days.
Yeah. One against Mox, I do believe.
But yeah, that's it. They could be doing a hell of a lot more with him. The match that Archer and Will Ospreay had at the G1 in Dallas is one of my favorite live matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, this wasn't nearly as good as that, but this was fun. It was like a 4-star match, I think. So, and honestly, if we get more Archer, I would not complain. I think he's a great talent.
Absolutely.
What do you think about this MJF America storyline with the Will Ospreay? I will have to say that I still have not watched either the match with Ospreay and MJF, and I haven't watched the following Dynamite where with the promo from MJF kind of setting it all up. I've only seen the one from this past Wednesday. I wasn't super into it. It feels really weird to have like a guy. I know that MJF is disingenuous. That's his whole character in AEW. I know that, but still, it felt weird to have a guy in South Carolina as the heel cutting a rah-rah America promo, even if it's disingenuous, and the baby faces against him being a British guy and a Fletcher's New Zealand and not Australia, right?
I think Fletcher's Australia.
Okay, sorry. Then yeah, Australian. It just felt like it felt weird psychology. You add in that Don Callis, who is obviously a heel, is standing there, you know, on the baby face side. It felt kind of weird to me, and I think it's partially just, I think MJF is a tremendous talent, and I also at the same time think this is kind of bullshit on my part. I fully admit it, but you've got, you know, you had the babyface run, but before that you had him doing the heel shtick, and this just feels like the same heel shtick. And maybe this isn't a fair criticism, but I don't know. It's not clicking for me right now. And you know, this is off one show. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's just a me thing, but I don't know. What do you think about the whole deal? Okay, cool.
Why? Sorry. I've been so mad about this whole thing that I can barely talk. Why in the hell does MJF have another gimmick belt?
This is without getting into the, we're changing the name of the international title again, for this is now the third name it's gone under.
Well, All Atlantic to International, that's completely fine. It makes more sense.
Sure.
For it to be international.
It should have just been the International at first, but you know, that's a course correction. I don't have a problem with that one by itself, but the fact we're now on name three and it's so that we can do this kind of, frankly, kind of silly gimmick. At least it's not an election gimmick. When I first heard reports of like rumors of what this storyline was going to be, I was scared to death we were going to get the return of like MJF fake politician, which led to that fart of a feud with Jon Moxley. And I don't know. We didn't, thank God, because I can't imagine anyone looking at the political landscape of the U.S. in 2024 and going, yes, I would like to do a fake presidential campaign that will surely be very successful as a gimmick in professional wrestling. This could lead to no issues whatsoever. I'm glad we're not doing that, but all the same, like, I just don't think this is, I don't know, I just don't see this as a success right now. Maybe, again, that could just be me, although it sounds like you're on my side.
Yeah.
Wait and see. We'll see what happens.
Just bad. Bad.
I just don't think it's it.
No. You know what has been good, Fred? And let's end the show on this.
Okay.
The Olympics. The Olympics have been very fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's talk about the Olympics. It's way cooler than pro wrestling. Sorry. I'm an Olympic mark, so I know that like financially it makes no ever loving sense for anyone to ever pay the money for this. The IOC is corrupt as hell, et cetera, et cetera. But also the Olympics are bitching. So like, I don't know, man. I can only say what I like to watch, and I like to watch them Olympics.
Me too. I'm trying to think of some of my favorite things so far in the Olympics. One, Minnesota legend Suni Lee. I love Suni Lee.
Extremely talented.
Did you see the viral video of the pole vaulter, Fred?
Oh yes, who lost because of
his manhood,
a personal injury.
His manhood hit
the bar. I have to assume that didn't feel good. For those that didn't see it, was it French? Was he a French pole vaulter?
Yes.
Okay. He pole vaulted and all the way down to the bulge at the crotch caught the pole, or not the pole vault, but the bar you're supposed to clear, and knocked it down in one of the funnier gifs you're going to see in a little bit, just because it's really is what happened. Pommel Steve, my wife adores Pommel Steve. He's got one job and it's pommel. And he's very good at it.
Did you see what his girlfriend calls herself on Twitter?
No, I did not.
I think it was Mrs. Pommel Horse.
It's very good.
Very good.
There is, I keep messing up her last name, but I have yet to actually watch any of the rugby. I want to watch the rugby. But there is a, there's a female rugby player for New Zealand named, I'm going to mess up her name now. It starts with a P, but I don't think it's Patricia. I'm going to have to Google
this. She is basically female rugby player Mike Allstott. It's tremendous.
She's just tossing out Derrick Henry ass, stiff arms on the regular, and it rules. It is, no, it's not Patricia. Damn it. Portia Woodman. Look up her clips. She is a frightening human being. I would genuinely not want to run afoul of her, because she is a badass. She rules. We watched some of the, not even this, there's some wacky new race they're doing with the kayaking.
That looks fun as fuck.
Kayak cross. We're saving that. Me and Nicole are saving to watch that tonight. We're hyped to see that. But we just watched like regular, I don't know if it was whitewater kayaking or what, but it ruled. It was a badass sport. Fencing is cool. One of the fencers is a med student here in Lexington, and she now has 3 gold medals. Is basically by far the most accomplished American fencer ever. I have not watched that, but I heard someone compare the crowd in that arena to Cork and Hall. So that made it, that put it on my list. One afternoon I wanted to take a nap on the TV, so I put on Race Walking, which was nice background noise, but it was kind of fun to watch. I'm not, of the ones we're talking about, I'm not saying this is exactly at the same level of excitement, but I gotta say, that's a tough sport. You know, people will make jokes about it because it's air quotes here, only speed walking, but like you're doing that for a long ass time and you got to have a certain stride. Like they need a little respect. And also, this is just for me, this is just a outright, I've only watched the men's, but this is just a simple statement of fact. If you're a person that enjoys the male posterior, this is the sport for you, because one, these people are toned as hell in their glutes. They really are. And two, you get a lot of trailing shots because it's a race and you got to shoot it either from the front or the back, more or less. So you get a fair bit of just ass time. And, you know, if you just want to, if you're a person that is going to be like, I admire that part of the human anatomy, this is the sport for you. More seriously, the synchronized diving is crazy. Those people are nuts and extremely talented. I kind of hate how NBC primetime is just swimming and gymnastics. It's very frustrating to me because like I like those sports, but also like there's other sports. Come on, guys. But they're all extremely talented. There is a Ukrainian male gymnast who is like, I think probably only 35, but he looks like he's 45. He's like the Arn Anderson of gymnasts. He's a badass. He's really good. I love the Olympics. I love what the product they put forth. You know, it would be pretty great if they were not comically corrupt and terrible in various ways. But someone probably could reach out to me and be like, "You're a bad person for liking the Olympics." And I'd be like, "Yeah, but I enjoy the Olympics."
I love the Olympics. Man, there was one that I was going to talk to you about that was a lot of fun. Oh, do you enjoy the handball, Fred?
I have yet to watch the handball, but it is on my radar to do.
The handball.
I have unfortunately come back from scrabbling to go right to like a shit ton of work I put off for the scrabbling. So I've been trying to get through that. The handball, I am very excited to watch the handball. I will say I caught a little bit of the shot put rolls. Field events are awesome. Track events are awesome. Olympics, it's a good TV. Good stuff.
A NFL offensive lineman, Mitchell Schwartz, who, I don't know, if he would have played one or two more years, he might be a Hall of Famer. He was that good. He tweeted out, because, you know, he's an athlete, what would be the one sport that you think you could compete in the best? And what was the one sport you think you're farthest away in competing in? My answers were pretty simple. I thought I could possibly compete in handball.
Okay.
And there's no chance in hell I could be a sprinter, because I'm slow as molasses. Yeah, I mean, I could have picked gymnastics, which no chance in hell. Or pretty much anything else. But, man, I'd run the 100 meters in like 15, 18 seconds. There's no way I can improve to getting in the 10s or the 9s.
I swear, every time we get in Olympics, there's this tweet that goes around and like someone's like, oh, we should actually just draft people from countries and then have them compete in these things. And that'd be better. Just watch a normal. No, it wouldn't be. We're watching the best of the best. That's the cool thing. What we should do, however, is have one Rich Eisen. One person that is just like, all right, I'm going to try this sport for the first time and I'm going to do my best. And you have these people, because there's too many for just one person, but you can have like pseudo Rich Eisen just like, you know, eat shit at every sport and be like, this is what a normal guy would do, to give further context. Because, you know, like every shot putter seemingly was doing like, I think it was 30 meters or whatever it was. And like you've got these sprinters ripping off 100 meter runs and the swimmers and everything, but you need like one schmuck just to hop in there and be like, all right, I can swim. I know how to do the breaststroke. I'm going to rip off 100 meters as fast as I can. And then after, they'll show that it was like five times the speed, you know, of like five times slower than the last place Olympian in the final. I need to tell you about my college football drama, College Football 25, the greatest video game to ever be created.
I would say
this
may be controversial. I think it's better than Tecmo Bowl.
It is a blast. I've mainly done the career mode, as a player.
Road to Glory?
Road to Glory, yeah. I created a running back named Biscuits Gravy. You got to look, they don't even pronounce the name.
How heavy is Biscuits Gravy?
He actually is a tiny runny guy. He's like a Darren Sproles guy.
You coward.
Hold on. My other guy, Beef Tankman, was another running back that was the power running back, but it also didn't retain the numbers I put in. So he's just 5'10", 200 or whatever the basic is. So I'm like, I don't even have Beef Tankman, but I wanted to try a speed guy. And after my first game at Kennesaw State, which we lost by 1 point, and I had like 100 yards or something. It was like a decent, you know, first game for a freshman. It then glitched out and gave me maximum gold XP medallions, which you use to upgrade your guy's stats. And so it has done that 3 times in a row. And so I have a 99 overall guy with max, like, everything maxed out except for spin, which requires me to gain 2 more spin. But outside of an NIL deal, I don't know how that's going to happen. But I won the Heisman as a true freshman running back at Kennesaw State, which went 10-2. But we got sent to the Bahamas Bowl. I was averaging like 10 yards a game. It was the only thing I can really compare it to is in like Madden 06 or whatever, when I would play with LaDainian Tomlinson, like the one year that he was like the running back god of the NFL. It just feels kind of like that. It's a blast, and it's a really fun game. I need to get into the coaching, you know, that dynasty mode, but I haven't really yet. I've started one, but just made a little progress in it. But I got to prioritize biscuits and gravy now.
Tremendous.
Oh, I need to change his first name to include the initial N. That was a mistake on my part.
Biscuits and gravy, just so good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, but it's a really fun game if you're a football fan. And there are a couple things like, yeah, every sports game is going to have little glitches. Like, it's very silly that I was able to make a 99 overall at Kennesaw State, you know. But it's also fun to basically have an entire team's offense be based around biscuits and gravy. So
I love it.
I ain't complaining.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fred.
How's things in Vikings world real quick before you go?
Good. Good. I spent a bunch of time at training camp. As you can kind of tell, I have a little bit of the raccoon eyes.
Yeah. You sleepy boy. I can tell right now.
Oh, I am a very sleepy boy. That is mainly because Odie and Cheddar decide, hey, I'm going to wake Dad up. Let me sleep.
Dogs do be doing that.
I love them, but they're the bane of my existence sometimes. Odie is vibing on the other side of the room. You can kind
hell
of
yeah
see him.
Odie, I can see him. This is a, of course, the podcast is a visual medium, but I will say Odie is a very good dog that is napping away right now.
He's a very good boy. I get it. As I'm adjusting my camera so all the listeners can see me. Yeah, it's
we're so good at this.
Yeah, we are. We're tremendous. Best podcast around. You know, right. Vikings are interesting. They're also not.
How do you think they'll do this year?
7-10 or 8-9. Like,
okay.
This is a transition year, and next year I think they're going to be primed to make a run. I just don't think they're quite ready yet, which is fine. I don't think it's a big deal that they're not ready yet.
Yeah. How's the new QB looking?
Good. But he's not there. Still some inconsistencies. Still needs to finalize some mechanical stuff. The fans will tell you that he's tenfold better than Sam Darnold, but they're not actually watching. They're just seeing the highlights. Be like, oh my gosh, he's so good. Like, calm down. That's a glimpse into your future, but he still has to figure out a lot of the little things, a lot of the nuts and bolts of playing quarterback. He's not there yet.
Yeah.
Things are pretty good. Just getting through the day-to-day and writing a bunch.
Yeah. You are a hard-working fella. I will say that.
I do what I can. I do it for the people.
You know, being a hard-working, where can people check out your work? The seamless transition to your plug.
Yeah, I have joined a new website called A to Z Sports as a full-time writer covering the Minnesota Vikings and the NFL at large. Cannot recommend enough. I do a lot of really fun stuff, and once the NFL draft comes around, you're going to want to follow along because I scout players for it and tell you who's going to be good and who I think is not going to be good. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but that's part of the deal.
Yeah. It's always hard to be 100% correct with that.
That's very true. And I am 100% correct in this. That is our show tonight. Give us a 5-star review. And give us a comment on the podcast medium of your choice.
The red circle gives us money. If you give us money through red circle.
Yeah. The donation link is in the show notes, and we are excited to bring you AEW coverage every single week. And next week we will be more in sync and ready to rock and roll because, hey, we haven't done a show in 3 weeks.
Ah, it's like I never left. It was perfect. I don't know how anyone could complain about any of our shows, especially when we're the only wrestling podcast.
With that said, I'm Tyler. He's Fred. Take it easy.
Take care, everyone.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.